Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you again today. Hope each of you had a great week. Anything happen in your life? God do anything in your life this week you want to quickly share about? Anybody?
He's kept us COVID-free as best I know.
There you go. There you go. We had a family reunion this weekend, kind of end of the summer bash. And Friday night, my grandson played varsity football, first game of the year. They won. Everybody was happy. Gets home from the game, gets a call from the coach that he's going under quarantine. He had been sitting next to another student who had COVID. Saturday morning, we were all headed out in that storm, you know, that was here. We started just before the storm hit. When we got there, finally, you know, my older son got there, my younger son got there, my daughter got there, and she comes sneaking around the corner by herself. My son-in-law was on the phone with Polk County Health. It seems I had two other grandsons who were sitting next to a COVID person. So I've got three grandsons under quarantine right now, but the issue is that there's three known COVID cases now in Bolivar schools. Now that sounds teeny tiny, but you got to take in the factor of those kids who are sitting around them, which my grandsons were one of three, but we're talking seven classes a day. We're talking numerical figures here, folks, in just a couple days. So we need to pray that God will put a cap on that. And I will tell you, though, that, you know, I drive a bus for the school district, so I got a little inside track with what's going on. Our school system has really gone, taking the second, third, and fourth mile to keep this thing under wraps. You wouldn't believe the amount of cleaning and disinfectant that's going on. I mean, throughout the day. I mean, they're taking care of hallways, high traffic areas, railings, tables, classrooms. I mean, it's just ongoing. I don't know what else they can do. They're bringing in extra personnel just for cleaning. So there have been like 15% of students who have parents, you know, decide, hey, you're not going to school. We're just not going to deal with that. So they're doing online classrooms, but the other 85%, of course, are there, and they're the ones that will be affected by what's going on. But being in school, masks, distancing, and sanitizers is the new normal for the day. The first few days, of course, were always chaotic. You know how that goes. But by the end of the week, things seem to move out. But what I see is a school district of personnel who are doing everything they can to make students safe, healthy. Everybody's coming together to make this thing work. So, you know, I feel good about that. I feel like I'm a part of a team there too. You know, I've got like 40 kids on my bus, and so I've got my own rituals that I have to go through every day. But everybody's coming together to make this thing work. They've not been in class since March. You know, some of them are just anxious, tickled to death, get to be back with each other, even though they're wearing masks and some social distancing. You know, that all that cannot be stopped. It just can't. So for our churches, you know, most of them have been back in session since May. There are some churches that's just now opening. You know, they just made that decision. But they've all had to ask, like you guys, you know, you've had to ask that question, you know, what's that going to look like? What needs to be done? Get it going. There are some churches that have not reached their pre-COVID attendance yet. There's only 6% that are back to their normal attendance. Now think about that for a moment. That means that there's 94% who are not back to their normal attendance. So you can think about yourselves in that respect, you know, how things are going here. Now that includes those who are listening by radio. You know, it's not hard to really just to know who's out there. Just go outside, see who's sitting in their cars, walk by, say, hey, glad you're here today. You know, good to see you. You can get an idea of how many's out there. And you just add that to your attendance. It's kind of hard to do that with those listening by way of future casts on online. But churches are looking for ways to reach out to those who have not come back. And churches are looking for ways to reach out to new people. Churches are starting to come together now. This is, in a way, this has really been good for community and for churches. Community and churches have had to do a lot of coming together. And by reaching out to new people, that's what we call conversion growth. Maybe you've heard that terminology. There's actually three kinds of growth in the church. There's biological growth, where basically we baptize our own kids. You know, they become Christians and we baptize them. Then there's transfer growth, people coming in from other churches, and that's good. But basically, you know, we're just swapping sheep. That's all we're doing. And then there's conversion growth. That's reaching out to those who are kind of out of reach. You know, they're unbelievers. They just kind of a little hesitant with Christianity. But then we talk to them. We reach out to them. They see that, yeah, there's people out there that care. And we share the love of Jesus. And they finally come into the fold. That's conversion growth. But in order for that to happen, in order to regather God's people and for new converts to come together, there must be this coming together. Maybe you've guessed it by now. The title of this message is Coming Together. Coming Together. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we have the story of the healing of the paralytic. Now, most of you know this story by heart. You've read it many, many times. This is where a man is in the story, and Jesus says to this man, "Sons, your sins are forgiven." You could look at Mark chapter 1 through 3 and see that there could be a little theme through there of forgiveness. But this chapter kind of focuses in on this one individual. But there's a lot of things happening around that individual. You know, the Bible is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about all these heroes that we learn about. It's about God. You know, the Bible is history, but it's His story. It's not us. It's Him. I remember years ago, back in, I think it was 1995, but I still remember it distinctly, Dr. Ferguson was giving the commencement address at Midwestern Seminary. And he said, he was telling the story about how his little girl, Julia, used to always climb up in his lap at nighttime, and he would read to her a Once Upon a Time story. And this one night, she gets up into his lap, and she says, "Daddy, would you read me or tell me a Once Upon a Time story and put me in it?" Doesn't that break your heart? Melt your heart? You see, this is God's story. And what He's done, He's put you and I in it. Do you understand that? This is God's story. It's not ours, but He loved us so much that He put us in it. And He put this paralytic man in it. And He put all these other peripheral people in it, in this particular passage of story. This is a story about a man who comes into the kingdom. This is about kingdom growth. It's about conversion growth.
It's about reaching out to that unbeliever out there and helping them to come into the fold. But I want to submit to you that there are some other helpful concepts in this passage that will help us at filling our own commission that Jesus has given to us. We have a mission as a church. You understand that? We're not here just to occupy a pew. We're not here just to come and sit and soak. Y'all know that? You're not going to find that in the Bible. It's not there. I want to tell you that there's some things in this Bible, the things in this particular passage, that will speak to us as how we are to function as a church. You know, in the book of Acts, we see that, well, in the Gospels, Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. So we know there's going to be a church. In the book of Acts, we see the birth of the church. And then in the Gospels, in the epistles, we see that there's problems in the church. So we know there's a church. But then we can come back to the Gospels and see pictures of the church. What's it, how's a church supposed to function? What's it supposed to look like? Well, sure, we see that in Acts, but I think there's some things in the Gospels, some things right here in this chapter. Some things that help us as individuals and as a church to come together. Be the church God's helped us, wants us to be. Mark chapter 2, please. If you would please stand in honor of the reading and reverence of God's Word. Mark chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, it says, when he, Jesus, entered Capernaum again. Now Jesus had moved from Nazareth to Capernaum. There's a lot of reasons why he left Nazareth, primarily because they run him out. So he didn't feel like that's where he needed to be. So he moves to Capernaum. That becomes his home base. And now the Bible says he's been out. He's doing the mission work. He's coming back home. After some days, he's been gone a while. It says, the Bible says, when he came home after some days, it was reported that he was home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the message to them. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would open our eyes this morning to see Jesus. Father, open our ears to what you would have for us today. And Father, open our hearts to gladly receive your truth. And we pray this in the name of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who loved us, sacrificed for us, and was resurrected so that we too might experience resurrection in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want to share with you this morning, just tucked away in this one little verse, lots of things in this one little verse. We just don't have time to dissect it all. First thing I want to talk to you about is that coming together includes a radiant countenance. A radiant countenance. Now, I know the first thing you're thinking about is, where is he getting that? Where is that in this text? Verse 1 says, when Jesus came home, when the people found out that Jesus was coming home, it was what? What does your Bible say? Anybody?
Noised that he was there.
It was noised. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. My Bible, I got the NIV. Some of you may have the same thing. It says it was reported. It was reported. Now let me ask you a question. How does that happen? How does it become reported? Now, when I think of those days, I think of third world countries. You go to a third world country, you know, there's some developed areas, granted, but there's some areas, I mean, it's just dusty roads, one-room homes. They're put together by tin and sheets of wood wherever they can find. I mean, they're pretty primitive.
And so when I think of Capernaum, Capernaum was a developed city. It was a big city. There was a lot going on there. That's another story too. But when I see this, I think of Jesus being with Peter and being in a small home, pretty rustic. Probably didn't have all the finer things in life. And the neighborhood was probably the same thing, same way. So the Bible says it was reported. Now, folks, there was no Capernaum News and Leader. There was no local CLS 94.5 radio station. You know, CLS, that's camels, llamas, and sheep. And there was no Channel 3 TV broadcast. So how did this really happen? How did this reporting happen? Well, right up front, I'll tell you that it happened with people engaging with people. They went up and down the little roads and knocking on doors if the door was there. Seeing people coming and going, saying, "Hey, you need to come. Jesus is here." So how does even that begin? Let's go back even farther before we start going up and down the streets. It begins with this, what I call this countenance of the heart. Countenance of the heart. Their hearts were glowing. They knew Jesus. They had been around Him. They had watched Him. They had listened to Him. They couldn't wait for Him to get back home and be with Him again. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. Does our heart glow because we know Him? Does our heart glow because we spent time with Him? Does being in His presence encourage us? In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says that whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. He's speaking of persons in this context, Matthew chapter 15, of those who are thinking evil thoughts, doing evil things, and of course, then out of the heart comes evil things. That makes a person unclean. But by the same token, they are good, godly things that makes a person clean, that produces godly thoughts and actions and godly words coming out of the mouth. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, is our hearts filled with joy and peace? And if so, we must express it. Not only is there the countenance of the heart, but there's the countenance of the face. Their faces were glowing. You remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he had that special connection with God? When he came down from the mount, Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 says this, "Moses was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord." Remember when Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin for the crime of speaking about Jesus? In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "The council saw the courage and boldness of Peter, and they realized that they were unschooled, just ordinary folks, and they took note that they had been with Jesus." Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. When we are around other people, do they see our boldness about speaking with Jesus? Do they sense how important He is to us? Do they note that we have been spending time with Him? You know what? If I flip out the pictures of my kids, my grandkids, I got 11 grandkids now. I can't keep up with them. Trying to go to all those games. Whew. You know, my face is going to light up. I'm just going to start telling you about them. I'm going to tell you what they're doing, what their gifts are, how proud I am of them. You're going to do the same thing.
But does your face glow when you talk about Jesus? Which brings us to the next one. The countenance of the relationship. Peter and John were close disciples of Jesus. They had spent a lot of time with Him. They had become knowledgeable of Him. They were becoming ambassadors for Him. Again, Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 4:20, they say, "We cannot help but speak about that which we have seen and heard." You just can't help it. It's just part of you. It's just second nature, if you will. We just can't stop telling about our experiences. Does that speak of us? Yeah, we spend all day talking about the weather, about our grandkids, this interest, that interest. Why isn't the first thing we talk about is Jesus? Why don't we take more efforts in engaging people in godly conversations about Him? Remember Desert Storm in the early 90s? Who was that distinguished general who was commander of the coalition forces in the Gulf War? Remember? I know we've slept since then, but General Norman Schwarzkopf, my buddy. Stormin' Norman. I don't remember what day. I'm thinking it's Sunday morning. I don't remember. But I distinctly remember that 747 landing, watching him coming down those stairs, watching him come up to that microphone. And he looked out over that group and he said, kind of pointed down to this line of people, he said, "I'm proud to be a husband. I'm proud to be a dad. I'm proud to be a brother." He even looked down to his dog. Dog was wagging tail, couldn't wait to get him. "I'm proud to be a master." He looked over that crowd and he said, "I'm proud to be an American." All of us would probably have said about the same thing. But would you have been able to say, "I'm proud to be a Christian"? You know, for some, sadly, that's something they hide from. Something they just don't display. Something that we just don't talk about. Something that every once in a while gets a little bit embarrassing. And then for many, hopefully a lot of many, being a Christian is something that they're proud of and they don't care who knows it. In this story, you got to understand, folks, in this story, there's just not one person doing the reporting. There's not just one person engaging with the community about their love for Jesus. There's not just one person wanting others to join in this special event. This was a massive reporting in the Bible that says that the news traveled so fast that people came to the house, started coming, and so much that the house was full. They were standing outside for lack of space. The King James Version says it was reported, but it was noised. It was heavily broadcasted and advertised that Jesus was arrived. The people started coming. So much so that the King James Version, I think, says they were pressed in the house. They were pressed together, much like what we would say, you know, sardines in a can. That's the way it was. The church had exponential growth. See that in Acts chapter 2. They were coming together. The Bible says they were united in one mind, one place, one purpose. They put feet to their faith, and the church just continued to multiply. You know, the Great Commission states that it starts by with Jesus saying, "Go," or "as you go." The implication there is that his followers are already living the Christ life. And that because of that, they're ready to go. They're ready to teach others how to be a disciple. Go and to teach others. Make disciples of others. Bring them under the teaching of the Word. If a person's not a disciple themselves, then it's hard to teach somebody else how to be a disciple. So what happens? They go and they turn the world upside down. How does that happen? Well, it begins with the radiant heart, with the radiant face, with the radiant relationship. You see, what we saw in this text, in this narrative, before it was ever reported, there was the radiant heart, face, and relationship. It's people coming together, doing cooperatively what they cannot do individually. But each one doing their part. You see, as a group, we're just a collection of individuals. But if you don't have a collection of individuals, you don't have a group. You see, being a Christian, or if you want to use the term Christianity, is not a spectator sport. It takes all of us participating together. So that we all know that we're not alone in this endeavor. And we see the big picture as it moves along and we are working together. Things begin to happen. There was an out-of-town driver who got stuck in a ditch in this desolated area. Fortunately, there was this local farmer who came out with his strong horse to help. And the horse's name was Buddy. So he hitched up Buddy to the car. He yelled, "Pull, Nellie, pull." Buddy didn't move. And the farmer hollered out, "Pull, Buster, pull." Buddy didn't move. Once more he commanded, "Pull, Coco, pull." Nothing. Not a thing happened. And then finally, with firmness in his voice, the farmer said, "Pull, Buddy, pull." The horse just dragged that car out of the ditch so easily. The motorist was just in awe. He was curious. He asked the farmer, "Why did you call your horse a different name 3 times? And the farmer said, "Oh, Buddy's blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try." Isn't that a picture of the church? Sometimes we get so discouraged, disappointed, things just don't happen the way we thought they would happen. We think God's not coming through. Sometimes we think we're in this thing by ourselves. But we're not. We're not. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, you know, that's we see the building of the church all along through the first part of the book of Acts. Then we see the stoning of Stephen. Then we see the church dispersed. God says, "You've been in Jerusalem long enough. I want you out of here. You got things to do. You got mission work to do." The Bible says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word." They gave testimony of the word. They gave testimony of what God had done in their lives. You see, they, as individuals, lived, shared, read, treasured, and obeyed the word. As individuals, so that they could then work corporately in extending the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Folks, it's going to happen. It is happening. I want to be a part of that, don't you? Yeah. But it's going to take a coming together.
radiance of the heart, the face, and the relationship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your story, for your history. Thank you for putting us in it. Thank you for loving us and gifting us and putting us where you desire us to be, where we can do the most good for your kingdom. We have a part to play. Therefore, we must be busy about doing kingdom business. We're not here just to be organized and make sure we got all our T's crossed and our I's dotted. Make sure we're doing everything, quote, the right way. Yeah, we need to be functioning as we should be functioning organizationally. But we're here to do kingdom work. We're here to fulfill the Great Commission. We've been given gifts and talents, and they're to be used. Why? So that we can love on other people. So that we can display Christ. So that He is preeminent in our lives, and people can tell it. Not that we have to wear a smile 24 hours a day, but they know. They know who we are and who our allegiance is to. God, help us to understand that we each one play a significant part in what happens to the church, the local church. That we are to be reporting what's going on here and who's doing it. When spiritual things are happening, it's not of us, it's of you. And so we are to make much of you in all areas of our life, our actions and our words and our deeds. Help us to leave today so much different than we walked into this building. So many times we sing, we come into the building just as we are and we leave just as we were. Like Moses, we cannot have a connection with you and not be changed. We cannot have a quiet time with you, spend time reading the Bible, spend time talking with you and not be different. It just can't happen. We as inferior people cannot come in contact with the Holy God and not be changed. Just does not happen. Help us, God, help us. Many times we fall short, we drift away, and we realize, hey, I'm not where I need to be. If that's us today, show us, God. Show us what we need to do to make things right. Help us to walk out of this place different. So different that people recognize it. And we can become kingdom changers. God, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives in the coming days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.